The best music, 18 hours a day. This is Get Ready to Rock Radio.
Music you want to hear.
The future of classic rock radio here today.
Turn on, tune in, wig out. Get Ready to Rock Radio.
All the rock and then some.
Get Ready to Rock Radio.
Keep themes drop.
Rock in your world. On Get Ready to Rock Radio.
This is the Pete Feenstra feature for Get Ready to Rock Radio. Welcome to the show. Tonight I'm speaking to Victoria Edwards and Adrian White, who together with promoter, lyricist and video content creator Dave Larder form Whiffing the Peaches, Grimsby's experimental rock band. Whiffing the Peaches is an ever-evolving studio project founded in 2008 by multi-instrumentalist, composer, mixer and masterer Ade White. Ade is a veteran of the Grimsby music scene, is an ongoing member of Skipper Fools, a seven-piece outfit known for their interesting choice of covers. Victoria, on the other hand, brings a new approach with a background in jazz, poetic lyrics and vocal versatility. The duo have just recorded a brand new album called Funky Peach, and here's a track from it called Influencer Greed.
All that you want, not what you need. A fistful of dollars feeding all that shitty need. Grabbing all the attention and clutching at success. Strip away the innocence, nothing to confess. Social norm, a finger to convention, a finger to your soul, a look of lust, a look of scorn.
Whiffing the Peaches and Influencer Greed. That's a track taken from the brand new Funky Peaches album, released yesterday on the 8th of June. So welcome to the show, Victoria and Adrian.
Hello, Adrian.
Glad there's somebody there. Okay. Okay, this album has been a long time in the making, really. Was that initially because of the lineup change, or was there a discernible new musical direction with Victoria joining?
No, I think it was more Trish leaving, left us in limbo.
All right.
Until Victoria came along.
Yeah.
And I suppose it sounds different now because of her input.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that hence the question,
voice,
really.
She has a different style.
Yeah. And was it easy for you to jump in there then, Victoria? I mean, you got your own thing going on. Was it very different from what you've done before, for example?
It is very different. I've never done this before.
Oh, right.
Always up for a challenge, though, and Adrian's fabulous, so made it quite easy for me.
Excellent. So the track we played, Influencer Greed, it's a really good example of what people might expect from the band, I think, both musically and lyrically. So would you call yourselves a socially conscious band then, if not political?
No, I wouldn't say so. A lot of the songs are tongue-in-cheek, or they're just moans put to music.
Okay, that's an original approach, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, the songs turn out how they turn out. There's no plan, really.
Right.
Depends what mood we are on the turn up.
And also, yeah, if we're in a good mood or not.
Do you set aside a period of time then when you do songs and say to yourself, we've got to get this done in this particular frame of time? Or
yes, but we tend to put one out about every 6 weeks.
And that being the case, yeah, tracks, I was going to ask you this later on, but we do live in this kind of download age now, so did you originally start, and I'm thinking about you, Aid, now, when you first started this project, did you originally start with just doing a few tracks and see how you get on, and then you suddenly discovered you got, you know, 12-odd tracks, and what, blimey, we got an album? Is that how that happened?
Yeah, I suppose it's really all down to Dave Lowder and his promotion.
Yeah, of course.
I just did a couple of songs for a bit of fun. I had no confidence in them whatsoever.
Wow.
And Dave said, well, I think that's quite a good song. And he put it on his website, LAMP.
Yeah, which for people out there is Lincolnshire Arts and Music Bulletin, I believe.
Yeah, it was a good website.
It was a brilliant website. But yeah, but actually, on that very point, I came, well, Whiffing the Peaches came to my attention through Dave Larder, who's your promoter, sometime lyricist and video maker, and as you say, he was a founder member of the Lincolnshire Arts and Music Bulletin, LAMP. So was it his website then that showed you the possibilities of social media marketing and the like?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. But without that, it would have just been the thing in my back room for a bit of fun.
Right. And how long have you been having a bit of fun in your back room doing this then?
That's a bit saucy, that thing.
No, it wasn't meant to be.
I suppose we've been doing this properly about 3 years.
Right. Right. But you started it back in 2008, didn't you, the actual...
Yeah, that was just one song.
Right.
And I was working at the time and didn't have a lot of time. And I just did that one as a one-off. And then I started properly about 3 years ago with GarageBand. It gave me the opportunity.
Yeah, as it's done for a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
And that kind of inspires you, like you do one song and then you think, wow, you know, and then you're on the roll then.
Yeah, I thought, well, that... You know, it wouldn't sound too bad, and then obviously you're learning all the time and getting better at it and improving.
So just about everybody that's been in the band, and you've had various lineups, a part of this, what I call the mothership cover band, Skipper Fool. So is that a musical community in itself?
I suppose it is, really. And
I love that, mothership.
Yeah, it's the mothership. And that's where they all came from, except Victoria. I knew her from seeing various jazz bands in a local venue.
Ah.
Always impressed with her voice. Didn't know her. And when Trish left, I thought, well, I'll give it a shot, and she agreed, which was lucky.
Well, Victoria, it's kind of ironic, really, because, you know, this project started more jazz than rock, and now he's brought you on board, and you've got a jazz background, so how do you explain that?
Yeah, yeah.
I think we fit quite nicely.
Yeah. Brilliant. So, 2008 was the starting point, and you approached Trish McKenna, local guitarist Keith Dillon, who appears on some of these tracks as well, to record a track we're going to play on later on called Merchant Banker. So there was an early single as well called What You're Gonna Do. So what was your original vision of the band then?
Just a bit of fun in my back room.
Still, beyond that.
No more. Really no more than that.
But I mean, what I meant by that question was when more people came on board, and even right up to now where you got Victoria coming on the project, does that push you in different directions and unseen kind of musical directions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I always like other people involved. Plus, yeah. I can't sing.
Which doesn't help, yeah.
I could do everything else on the songs, but I can't sing.
Yeah.
But if other musicians come in occasionally, it does give it a different flavour.
But do you bring in particular musicians sometimes when you've got something in particular in mind? I'm thinking of the trumpet parts, for example. In the past.
It gives it more of a funky feel, some songs, and some songs that are a bit aggressive, I think. I get Keith Dillon to do a solo, because he's...
Yeah, he really does some good shredding. Well, we'll hear some of that later on. Yeah.
Which is not my style, so it's probably a different style.
But you're primarily a bass player, and you play a bit of guitar, is that what it is?
In live bands, I play bass. Right. At home, I play keyboards, guitar, and bass, and program the drums.
Yeah, and do you play anything, Victoria, other than sing and write?
just the singing. Everything that I do with instruments, not for public consumption.
So
a bit of fun.
Much like my singing.
A good balance then, yeah. So... Whiffing the Peaches has always been a non-gigging studio project. Is that one of the reasons you think for the fluctuating lineup, or did you always see it as being a fluid situation, as I said earlier on, that you might bring in different players for different songs?
Yeah, I suppose it was always with the intention, if somebody could play an instrument and they were good and had some ideas, or could sing, or they're welcome to come in.
Yeah. So... As I said, again, I've already mentioned this, the project as a whole has moved from kind of jazz rock almost crossover to more experimental vocal and guitar driven melange, if you want, of rock, funk and soul. So, I guess that reflects the people that's in the band.
Yeah, it gives it a different flavour, pulls you a different direction. So I write the basic song.
Yeah.
Obviously, Victoria comes in and puts. I've no idea what she's going to sing. I leave that to her.
Yeah.
And if Keith comes in on guitar, he obviously takes it in a different direction. Or Trev Nimmo on trumpet.
Yeah.
Immediately changes it again.
Different musical colours. Okay, yeah. Let's play another track then, and this is one of your most popular songs called Cold.
So cold.
Side of it's down to Trish McKenna,
and it's a song in two parts really before the guitar comes in.
Yes, well, the second part was an excuse for me to show off on the guitar.
Yeah, but it fitted the song somehow. And this is also a song that's clocked up an amazing amount of views on leading social media platforms. So does that sort of positive reaction have a bearing on your future musical direction at all, or does it just validate what you're doing at the time?
That just validates what we were doing. Don't really have a direction. Each song, I'm just messing around on guitar and I'll come up with something, and then it'll develop from there.
But that is a killer song. I mean, it, you know, lyrically and musically, it's a very emotional song, and obviously a lot of people have tapped into that.
Yeah, about 110,000 views. Yeah. They're playing some views, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, certainly
gave us a boost.
Okay, so here we are, the two of you. Tell us about your respective musical influences then, and what the common ground is between the two of you.
Yeah, Victoria.
Well, I've been singing jazz and blues since I was very young, so quite a few years. That's my passion, but I've recently got into, since particularly with Skipper Falls, into that sort of funk grooves, soul-y sound, which I think suits my style, suits my voice. But I think just sort of influence with whatever's going on at the time, and you know, Adrian's got a massive portfolio of amazing songs that he's put together, so we'll throw a couple out there and I'll listen to it and I'll think, okay, I can... You know, something will pop in my mind, or, you know, a trip that I've been on, or things that are going on with the kids at the time.
Yeah.
Again, depends what mood you're in, and we just go with what happens and go with the flow.
Yeah. It's very spontaneous, really.
And what about your influences then, Aid?
Pretty much the same as you, Pete.
Yeah, same here.
The show, and I think, and you drag things up from the past. I thought nobody else had ever heard of them except me.
Well, not before the digital era, anyway. Yeah,
the same era, and the band you promote. Obviously, Man, the parents.
Well, they're a very good example, actually, because they kind of draw on the past and bring it right up to the present. You know,
which is
what I like. You know,
yeah.
Great stuff. So let's play another track then, and this is called, this is the cryptically titled I saw what you did. Whiffing the Peaches, and I Saw What You Did, taken from the Funky Peach album. So, great song title there. Dave Lard was telling me that you stumbled upon that when you were talking online.
Yeah. Once again, accidental, and he wrote the lyrics, but I really liked them because it could be about politicians, it could be about a lover, it could be about a friend, people you've just suddenly seen through. So I really liked that one.
And different relationships, isn't it? Your relationship with politics or your relationship with a loved one or something that's going on.
Yeah. It could be anyone, any situation. Yeah.
And I love the way that you bring a theme like that to what I call a locked-in groove, really. I really like the way that thing starts. It sounds as if you're already jamming away before you switch the record button on.
Oh, right, good. Probably was.
And so, that was Keith, the guitarist, on the shred on that, was it?
That one, I got Keith to play the solo on that one. I thought it suited his style, and I think it fits nicely.
So you had the basic track before he dropped that in, or?
When Victoria comes, the song's finished, really, except for vocals.
Right.
I finished the songs here.
Yeah.
Victoria will come and do the vocals, or in that case, I said to Keith, do you fancy doing a solo on this? And the song was there, ready to go.
Wow.
It just drops in on it.
It's really intense, I love it. Okay, another track, this is called Contemplation. was Whiffing the Peaches and Contemplation from the new Funky Peach album. Go out and get it. Some really evocative lyrics on that song, Victoria, such as, "We are soul searching, we are moral building, a temporary mirage." So tell us a bit about this atmospheric song and your ethereal backing vocals.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. Again,
I think I turned up in a bit of a mood.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd had a rough day.
Right.
And I think the song's just, you know, like, you live in a chaotic world and you're rushing around and, you know, I've got kids, full-time job, running around doing music and stuff. And sometimes you just need a quiet, dark cupboard somewhere that you can go hide in.
Yeah, yeah.
And just think about what's going on. And, and you know, you reflect and think about, try and put a positive twist on things when you're in a bad mood. And it's like, actually, look where I've come from. And, yeah, so sometimes you just need that oasis of calm and tranquility just to bring yourself back up again.
Which is a great starting point for the lyrics. And I want to go back to what Age has said about having the song before you put your vocals on them. That, you've got a kind of a wall of sound there. Is that what you started with?
Yeah, I think I tend to, there's a basic riff or whatever, of course. Yeah. Then I just layer it.
Yeah. The Phil Spector of Grimsby.
Yeah. Yeah, Phil Spector.
Sorry.
Yeah. This song I'm doing now, a new one, it's not finished yet, the solo, and there's 8 guitars on it. Lots of riffs. It seems to work.
So, Victoria, is it the case that you sometimes have to make your lyrics fit Aid's music? So he comes up with the basic backing track, and you have to think yourself, how can I make this work?
Yeah, he'll send me different stuff that he's done, and I'll sit and listen. And it's like, oh, I like that one. So it's just really a feel, and like if it evokes something in, you know,
yeah.
Oh, I think I could do that with it. Or, you know, Dave Lauder might send through some lyrics, and it's like, oh, actually, we move that around and that fit quite nicely.
Wow. Well, it certainly worked on that song. It's great. Well done. So you mentioned Dave Lauder again there, and he's also very important in your, as a creative part of your videos and as a result of that, marketing. So give us an insight into your collective approach to videos then. You've got the song, you've got the lyrics to fit into something that...
Yeah. Well, I'm leaving the videos to Dave now. I used to do them at first, and mine were always tongue-in-cheek, just fun, really. They weren't serious.
Right.
But Dave sort of took it over, and I leave the videos to him now.
But what information do you give him? I mean, do you say we need to, for example, with Victoria's one, you've got an obvious lyrical message there, so yeah. He's got to bring that out in terms of the visuals.
I just leave it to him.
Yeah.
I just say this. I tend to be like that with the singer as well, or guitarist. I don't say I want this or that. I just say, there's the song.
Yeah.
Do what you want with it.
Okay, let's move on then to what I think is a lead single, unless you tell me otherwise. This is called Funky Peach.
Ooh, funky. That funky peach. With my investment portfolio, sipping my Chateau de Pompeii, I really ought to be doing something else, but I can't think what it is.
Whiffing the Peaches and Funky Peach, the title track of the brand new album released yesterday, the 8th of June, self-release. I could imagine the late Ian Jury doing something like that. Did you work from a groove upwards on that?
Oh, definitely. It's about 2 or 3 years old, really? The groove.
Wow.
It's one of those songs, I did it, and it got left. And for some reason, I dragged it out of the computer, and Nigel said... Nigel Toombs,
yeah.
He said, I think I can do something with that, and he did. And then it ended up with bringing Victoria in.
Yeah.
Trish McKenna came in and did a bit. Trev Nimmo came back and did a bit.
So if you include Dave, then you've got about five of you on that. Did you all actually come together to record it, or did you all do little bits and drop it in?
No. I do the basic track on my own.
Yeah.
And everybody came in and did their bits on their own.
Yeah.
I find it works best like that.
So when you compiled all the tracks for what did become an album, did that track stand out as an actual single then? 3 years later.
yes. We don't work too fast here. Yeah, I think it was more that the title, it's a good title for the album, Funky Peach.
Yeah.
And it was the obvious one with it being called Funky Peach.
Yeah.
Whether it'll do any good or not, I don't know, because it's such a different style to that.
Oh, it's very accessible, though, you know.
I hope it's so.
Brilliant.
I hope so.
And it does draw on the kind of musical direction you're pursuing now, which is kind of funk, really, and different influence.
Yeah.
Not exclusively so, but and rock. Okay, we're going to play another track, which is goes back a few years. It's called Blame.
Governments are wrecking the world that we live in. Constantly warring, spreading their for the shit that they are causing. But don't blame us, blame the right people. All we wanna do is keep on being creative. Cornish friends, say hi. Killing each other just seems so horrific. Bad people don't fall for the
was Whiffing the Peaches and Blame, originally the opening track of a previous Don't Blame Us album, now to be found on the Funky Peach release. Great rhythm track on there, and another Keith Dillon intensive shred, great guitar playing, and then a richer tone guitar solo. And his guitar playing seems to kind of mirror the lyrical meaning on there. Was that what was going on at the time?
Once again, I just said to Keith, do you want to put a solo on? And I suppose he listened to
very much so.
Upon that, and really good solo.
So, you know, coming back to this new record, it's essentially, it's an introduction to Victoria, obviously, but it also draws on your history of the band before. Was it a kind of updated compilation you were looking for then?
Yeah, I suppose it's picking the best of the old stuff and then bringing it up to date with Victoria coming in.
But you still saw some mileage in some of the songs people might not have heard before from the previous record.
Obviously the recordings aren't as good as now because those early days, but Outside and some of the others stand the test of time.
Absolutely so. I'm going to play out the show with that track later on. But first, I'm going to play another Victoria track. This is Victoria Edwards singing on Racing On.
Push it for first grade, it's racing on the head.
was Whiffing the Peaches and Racing On, taken from the brand new Funky Peach album, self-release. So, Victoria, I've got to ask you this. I'm guessing you're pretty glad that you don't have to hit that final defining note every night on a tour.
Yes. Yeah, one of those notes where you just, as you're building up to it, you pray you're going to hit it.
But
my neighbours think with all this shrieking going on in here.
But that's another very good example of you know, the theme of the song being reflected in the video. It really, the two go together really well.
Yeah, good.
Thank you. That was the first one we did.
That was the very first one, yeah.
So how many songs have you got lined up then, Victoria, for the future? Or do you just work one at a time and that, you know, and record it?
We've got another one. Got three.
We've got three with Funky Beach ready to go.
Funky Beach, Living the Dream. Living the Dream's a different one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was another one. I Saw What You Did.
Saw What You Did, yeah. So we've got three, and then we've got something in the pipeline.
Yeah, what we're working on.
Yeah.
So again, you just keep beavering away on that until you've got enough for an EP or an album or whatever. Is that the plan?
Like I say, about every 6 weeks we put one out.
Yeah.
We've got a computer basing it, scenes with songs, yeah. A lot of which you'll never see the light of day, but some will.
So, and you just keep, do you keep editing all the time? Are you one of these people that can't leave a song alone?
yes, you got it in one. Yes.
Well, it's quite a relevant question actually, because if you do work independently, like a lot of people do now, a question I always ask, and I'll ask you as well, is, you know, sometimes it's good to have an extra pair of ears. Now, you know, when you're working at a certain level in the old days with a record label behind you, you'd have a producer doing that. And actually, many, many years ago, the producer would have a bigger say in the whole thing than the band would, unless you were Bob Dylan or someone, you know, or Pink Floyd or someone. But you don't have that problem, so... Yeah.
Well, I do have an extra pair of ears. Well, several.
Right.
My partner, Sue, she's good because she'll say, no, that's rubbish, if it is.
Yeah.
She'll say something's good, which is what I want.
Yeah.
Victoria obviously saying, oh, I'm not sure about that, or she won't even pick the song. And of course, Keith Dillon.
Yeah.
I'll always send them to him and say, Keith, opinions, and he'll point out things that are really obvious when they've been pointed out. You know, that's too long, that's too loud. You sort of hypnotise yourself with songs after a while, and you can't hear glaring mistakes that people will point out.
And how do you strike a balance then if you've got three different people with three different views?
They all have pretty much the same views, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do some songs change then as a result of that kind of feedback?
Yeah, songs change all the time. Drop sections out, put a section in. Sometimes I'll come up with something to start a song, and by the time it's finished, I've completely dropped what it started with.
And what about the other thing I always ask people about sequencing, you know, the way you like the order of the songs when you bring them together for an album, or, you know, do you sometimes move stuff around, or do you sometimes change stuff to make it fit?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Chopping and changing. Change your mind all the time. But there does come a point where I say, that's it, I'm sick of hearing it, I'm not doing any more. And it goes out as it is.
And I'm coming back to Victoria, and again, a question I have kind of already asked, but I'm just going back to this idea of you coming up with lyrics and fitting them with what Keith's doing. Have you actually ever written something, and have you changed things in the way that he does, being the overseer of the music? Have you changed lyrics to fit stuff like that?
Yeah, I think you have your lyrics, you have your basic idea, and then as you're going through, it's a really interesting process, actually, because I'm used to just singing a song all the way through, and then, you know, that's that, and you move on to the next one.
Yeah.
But this is, it's about... You're making it fit, and then you'll go back, and it's like, well, no, actually, I don't like that. So you're singing it in a different way, or you know, you leave it for a few days, and then you come back to it, and you know, you'll sit there for quite a while on a small section, so trying to get like levels right, and then you'll go, what about this, and we'll try that, and yeah, so move lyrics round, and you might change the rhythm of it or the melody a little bit. Actually, that might sound better in that section over there. So yeah, it moves around quite a lot.
So, you know, that's collaboration right there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Without the singer, I can't do anything.
Although, unfortunately, I ain't going to have time to do this, but I wanted to play, and I can't remember the title, it was a very early instrument you did with the trumpets and everything.
And well, there was two instrumentals. There was Raff Riff.
Yeah, that was it, Raff Riff. So, yes. And I want to talk about that EP in a moment, but Raff Riff, yeah. So I'd love to have played that. So you never thought of doing another thing like that? Because that was a really good track.
Instrumental? Yeah, I often think about it, really. They never get many plays.
All right, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that. I must make a note about that. Good. Being a lyricist, that's great. That's good information, anyway. So you mentioned Raff Riff. This was an extended EP you put out a while back, and it had a track on it called Outside, which I'm going to finish the show with tonight. So looking back to that time then, do you feel, I mean, apart from what you mentioned earlier on about you've got better recording processes now, do you feel that the band's had a natural progression, even though you've had different lineups?
Yeah, but it's not a straight line. It goes this way, it goes that way.
Yeah.
And if I'm in touch with a violinist, and I keep thinking I'd like to bring her in and do something with her, and it'd take it a different way, perhaps just for one song.
Yeah.
I tend to just go, if somebody comes along, well, yeah, if they can do something, I'll do it, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing's set in stone.
Again, you know, you're sounding like George Martin now. You're bringing all these string players or whatever. I'm only joking. So I think Outside was probably the first track I heard by you, Whiffing the Peaches, and I remember it specifically because...
Yeah, there was
stuff.
A lot of musicians, good musicians around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good.
And but nowhere to play, probably.
Well, this is the problem everywhere.
Well, that's... Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you think about it, you know, again, Grimsby and Cleethorpes had a real rich musical heritage going back, you know, 40 years.
Yeah.
And we were talking yesterday, you know, Tony McPhee from the Ground Olds comes from up there, as do a lot more famous people than him. But, I mean, I'm thinking more about the venues, really. There are a lot of big venues. Yeah. Scunthorpe and all these places, and you know, all up there. And
yeah. That's where I saw Alcatraz, who you played at Scunthorpe. They were great.
Well, I might have even have been there for a reason I'm not going to talk about, but yeah, it's a shame because I used to love that band, and I went to see a lot of their shows. But coming back to Whiffing the Peaches then, you've been very proactive on social media. Has that led to sort of an international presence, if not fan club?
Oh, absolutely. Without social media, nobody would have heard of us.
Right.
It'd still be in my back room.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, this is another step in the direction of getting this music out to more people. That's the whole idea of it all. So, really great having you on the show. Can you give us your social media links so everybody can check out your music and your videos?
We have our own website, which is www.whiffingthepeaches.co.uk. Whiffing the Peaches is one word, all lowercase. But if you just put Whiffing the Peaches in SoundCloud, Spotify or YouTube, it brings all our stuff up.
The other thing I meant to ask you and I haven't is the band's name. So, tell us about that.
It's very dark.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, it's American prison slang.
Right.
For going to the gas chamber.
Oh, right.
Because apparently the gas smells of peaches.
Oh.
How they know that, I'm not quite sure.
And there was me thinking it was all about, you know, the rich aroma of peaches being tied in with the music and all that.
It seemed like Where's Bill? He's whiffing the peaches.
Wow.
Which is quite sinister.
I liked the idea of life's a peach, much more positive.
She's more positive.
Exactly.
Victoria's very positive.
Just let's finish with this track called Outside. Thanks again for being on the show. This has been great.
Thank you for having us.
Absolute pleasure. Enjoy this track, everybody. Thanks for listening. And good night.
If there's a crowd, I'm at the back.
Both Aid and to Victoria, aka Whiffing the Peaches. And once again, that album is called Funky Peach. Our thanks also to Pete. He'll be back heading up the 5-hour Blues Rock Marathon. Tuesday is Blues Day from 1900 GMT. And we will be posting this interview to Pete's dedicated presenter page in the next few days. We've recently posted the JJ Gray, He of JJ Gray and Mofro. That's available now to listen again. Welcome along to your station on a Sunday. In an hour's time, I hope you'll stay with me for my weekly show. In the second hour, we'll be chatting to Thijs van Leer with tracks from the brand new Focus album and much more besides, including the top 10 album countdown. But right now, in the next hour, it's all very new to GRTR. Playing the